direct your attention today to the epistle of 1 John, and I want to look in the Bible to chapter 4 of 1 John, if you will, please, and we read begin at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even already is in the world now. Ye are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now in verse 1 he makes this statement, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Now, I want to pause here just a moment and say this, that folks, you know, in this world of ours are very naive and very gullible when it comes down to religious matters. Now, folks are always very careful to make sure they have a good doctor to take care of the family, have good insurance to cover the family, and they use wisdom in running their home and their income and so forth. When it comes down to religion and spiritual things, religious things, they're just very, very naive and very gullible. They get caught up with every new thing that comes along. I was thinking about that passage there in Acts chapter 17, where the Apostle Paul was there in Athens and went out to Mars Hill among all those philosophers and those thinkers, and the Bible said that they spent all their time trying to find out some new thing. And that's the way it is in the religious world. Everything that comes along, folks jump on the bandwagon, you know, and try it out. And, of course, we've watched the change, the winds change, you know. We're hearing this language today now among churches that there's new winds blowing, that now it doesn't make any difference what version of the Bible you use, what kind of music you use in your church, or how you dress, or those things. All those things are thrown to the wind. A new movement, you know. Well, we had several things come along in the last few years. There was the Jesus movement, you know. And, of course, we have the charismatic movement that's moved along very well and got rooted in the world system here. And there's so many things come along, just new things, and folks are always looking for something new. There are some folks who spend their time running from church to church, from movement to movement, meeting to meeting, looking for something new. And that's exactly what the philosophers did there on Mars Hill. In that city of Athens, where there were 3,000 gods, 3,000 idols, where they had an altar to the unknown god. If any other god they didn't know about, didn't want to forget him. And that's exactly the way people are. They're very gullible about spiritual matters. Now, he says to us here, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. And those of us who are saved, and I've made it my business to learn a lot about false prophets, false religions, and the Bible tells me here to try the spirits. Now, you try the spirits by what standard? You try the spirits by the standard of the Word of God. That's how you judge, make judgments, by the standard of God's Word. For instance, there's a denomination, and I guess it's a cultish denomination, that says that Jesus Christ could have sinned. The Bible definitely denies that, makes it very clear Jesus could not have sinned. In him was no sin, 1 John 3:5. There was nothing in him to respond to sin. He was the sinless Son of God. And then there are folks that have the idea that water baptism can save you. The Bible says that's absolutely not true. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's all kinds of ideas out there. One group says that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is evidenced by speaking in tongues. The Bible doesn't say that at all. You'll never find that statement in the Bible. It's just not there. And so people get caught up in religions, and of course they go along with the emotion of things and the tide of things, and don't stop to measure them and examine them by the authority and the standard of God's Word. And so he says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, prove them, put them to the test, and measure them by the standard of God's Word. Let God be true, the Bible says, and every man a liar. God is a God of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so all these religious ideas out there that have really no biblical substantiation are not really worth looking into, not really worth taking part in. And so he says here, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, prove the spirits. Now, listen, if you are very careful to have a good insurance policy on your car and your home and your family, if you're very careful to have a good doctor and a good caretaker and all those things, you know, don't you think if your soul is bound for eternity and going to live forever either in heaven or hell, that you ought to make sure that you have the right kind of religion, the right kind of salvation experience according to the Bible? I think that makes good sense, very wise and thoughtful thing. And he says, try the spirits, whether it be of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Now, there are lots of religious charlatans. The world's full of them. We're told there are over 20,000 religions in the world, but out of all the world, there's only one salvation. And that salvation is based upon the finished work of Christ that was wrought out on the cross of Calvary. And that's the only plan of salvation there is. You can look at the religions of the world, and you can find out that if they do not follow the strict guidelines of the Bible, then they have no final answer to the sin question. If they do not follow the Word of God, they do not have the presence of the Holy Spirit in them. They do not have a born-again experience, you see, because God's given us His revelation in the standard of His Word. And so he says that many false prophets, and the world's full of false prophets. In fact, if you study your entire Bible, you'll find there have been false prophets in every age. And, of course, there's going to be an accumulation of false prophets as we approach the end of the age. And that's happening right now. It's happening, of course, in New Evangelicalism. It's happening in various other movements where there's a drift away from biblical principles, biblical standards, biblical guidelines, and moving out into other areas, you see. And so he says that many false prophets are going out into the world. And he said in verse 2, he said, hereby... This is how we know. He said, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now, he's talking about the incarnation of Christ and all of the intended truths about the Son of God. And you can use him as a measuring rod, the Lord Jesus himself. And he says, if they confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, they're of God. Now, what's he mean by that? He means that, first of all, we recognize, according to God's Word, that we're sinners and that we cannot save ourselves and that religion cannot save us, but only Christ can save us. There's salvation only in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we come to that conviction, that conclusion in our heart, and we repent of our sin and receive Him as our Savior and commit our lives to Him. And we find that He's all that He claimed to be. He is truly the Son of God with power. He gives peace to our heart. He provides our needs. He gives direction for our lives. He transforms our life and makes us a new creature. And all these things you see that are attendant with that relationship to Jesus. And so he said, when a person confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that He's taken upon Himself a body of flesh in the incarnation, come in to walk among men and to give us the Word of God and to give us the great Scripture of the New Testament, that we realize that Christ, this is the very Christ of God, the Son of God, very God in the flesh, you see. And when you hold to that conviction, then you're right on the right track because you're on the biblical track, you see. And so he says we need to be careful about these false prophets. And he says every spirit that confesses not that Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, which you've heard as should come, and is now even already in the world. The spirit of Antichrist. which will culminate in the appearing and the revelation of the Antichrist after the saints of God are caught out of this world. The Antichrist is a movement, but it's a spirit, but it's also a man that the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation, chapter 13. The man of sin who tries to be the counterpart of Jesus Christ. And many and multitudes of gullible people are going to be swept along in his stream of confusion, his stream of false prophecy, and be caught up in it, and easily so because man, in his sinful condition, is very gullible, very naive. And so he tells here, he said, now, ye are God, little children, in verse 4, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. There he makes his direct appeal to God's people. He said, ye are of God, little children. You've overcome them. And, of course, the Bible says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We plead the blood of Christ for victory over the enemies of the gospel. In these days in which we're living, we're watching a drift on every side. We're watching new evangelicals as they're drifting more and more to the center of the road. We're watching some fundamentalists who are gone soft and adopting some of the philosophies of the new evangelical movement. We're watching people who are adapting different ideas for the church these days. The church is the church of the living God. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we need to stay on the old paths, as the Bible talks about in Jeremiah, and not remove the ancient landmarks, as the Bible tells in Deuteronomy and Proverbs. God is not running a nightclub. He's not running a showplace. He's running a church to magnify Christ, to preach the gospel of Christ's redeeming love, and to win sinners to the Savior, and to encourage God's people, and to establish a testimony, a lighthouse in this world for Christ in every local church. And so it says, believe not every spirit. Don't get caught up with every new thing that comes along. Walk in the old paths. That's the good way, the Bible tells us. Let me say, my dear friend, today, if you're not saved, I would urge you to look to the Word of God and to realize that Christ died for your sins, and he loves you today, and he wants to save you, and he will save you if you'll confess your sins, repenting of them, and commit your life to him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I urge you to do that today. If we can help you, please feel free to call us at 410-398-3764, and thank you until we meet again.